T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Again, it's delicious, we all agree, but I would still prefer a different flavor.
That Plus, is Skittles suck.
So many people, yeah, we're not tasting the rainbow here. Ethan Sherwood Strauss of The Athletic joining us on 95.7 The Game. Ethan, it's good to have you here today. Thank you for joining us. You take the three of the top six players off this team, and they're still winning overtime playoff games to close out series on the road. I mean, come on. Fifth straight finals appearance. You'll never cover a better team, and you're a young man.
I don't know how young I am. You know, Colin Cowherd once described me as a young man who's been covering the Warriors forever, which that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me temporally. I don't know how that one works.
He's rooting for your early and untimely death is what he's trying to do.
I can't blame him. It was pretty impressive. And I think with Andre out, that hurts them a little worse than maybe the casual fan even knows. He covers up so many gaps for that team. And just some of those lineups were they were insane. I'm not even criticizing, because I guess that was the bench that they had. But there was a run of play there, about 4 minutes. And let's see if I can recall who was on the floor. It was Steph. That was the one that was easy to remember. And then you had Draymond. And then you had Jacob Evans, and I believe Sean Livingston and Kevon Looney. That is Steph and four guys who really can't shoot three-pointers except for Draymond in some sort of clutch situation. And, it's a surprise to everybody. And they were +3 in that stretch. It was a ridiculous run of play. A lot of it's created by Steph's gravity. A lot of it is helped along by Draymond's just genius playmaking and his ability to play pick and roll and be smart about how he goes about it. And then some credit should be given to Steve Kerr for playing so many guys. I do think that pays dividends. I do think that they keep coming back in these games, 3 in a row coming back from big leads, because they have distributed the labor in such a way that they have enough at the end.
I mean, playing Jacob Evans, though, that's just showing off, right?
That's one of those, I have a lot of capital, I can't get fired sort of moves. That's one of those. You're not going to see Nick Nurse doing anything like that. I'll say that much.
Well, but then again, Nick Nurse can't.
Because
Nick Nurse is no longer playing the equivalent of the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, to me, the story of this Warriors run is three separate and very distinct chapters. The Clippers were a thing that, had they not taken the last part of Game 2 off, would have been a sweep, but it would have been an uncomfortable sweep. Houston was nothing but uncomfortable, and Portland was nothing but easy, even allowing for how close the games ended up. When the Warriors needed it, they showed how much different and better they were. And now Milwaukee is an equation that I don't even think we have the numbers for yet. And I'm assuming Milwaukee, just because teams that go up 2-0 in series are like 287-20. So I think Milwaukee is the one series that'll be truly interesting, because it is the one great unknown.
Yeah, Milwaukee, there's a lot of respect for them within Warriors HQ. It seems, to use the talk radio cliche, a collision course, that the season might have been on one between those two teams. And Milwaukee has the thing where they almost, there are echoes of the Warriors' ascent with the new coach and suddenly optimizing everything they have in 2015. You see that with a friendly superstar in Giannis. He is the exact opposite of Steph in terms of his impact and how he does it, but those parallels are there. They are good. They've certainly pushed the Warriors around in some regular season games. The thing for them is that they shoot so many threes, and inexperienced finals teams, they tend to be shaky. And I think for a variety of reasons. It's not just the audience. It's also because the NBA comes in, stomps around. They disrupt their routine in ways maybe a lot of fans aren't too curious about, but suddenly you are not determining when you practice. You are not determining when you shoot around and how you go about it. The power is taken from Raymond Ritter, and it is given to Adam Silver, and it screws a lot of teams up. So that is an advantage for the Warriors. If they go up against the Bucks or the Raptors, they will have that experience edge at the least.
Ethan Sherwood-Strauss here on 95.7 The Game. So riddle me this. The Warriors are 31-1 in their last 32 games when Curry plays and Durant does not. Nobody is allowed to say that the Warriors are a better team when Kevin Durant isn't playing. Not on this show, anyways. That's preposterous. We won't tolerate such nonsense. So how do you explain that number? Is it just a subtraction of Durant adds a level of focus that gets them over the finish line defensively? To what do you attribute such a preposterous number?
Yeah, basketball's just not so linear and basic as we would want it to be. You know, there's this example where there was a team, they had this great defensive shot blocker. And for whatever reason, when he was in the game, they were actually doing worse defensively. And their assumption was, well, maybe he's an empty calories guy. Maybe he's flying for every block shot. He's not doing what he should do. He's not following the scheme. No, he was doing everything he should do. What they saw on film, the problem was that everybody was slacking when he was in the game under the assumption that he would clean up all the messes. So is that that guy's fault? I mean, he's having this negative impact that is based on how great he is, evidently, right? It's tough. These are human beings. They're emotional. It's a scenario with Kevin Durant that you maybe can't blame him for in some respects, which is there are no wins there when he is on the floor. They cannot overcome expectations. When they played the Houston Rockets in Houston in that Game 6, they were 7-point underdogs. For the layperson, it means that Vegas thought that that Houston Rockets team, as constructed, was 4 points better than the Warriors without Kevin Durant. I think we learned that that was a bad line, but they overcame that expectation right there, and they celebrated a second-round series win like it was a championship. They can't have those moments when Kevin Durant is on the floor, and maybe it's the motivation chasm that we're seeing with that 31-1. That might be a big part of explaining why the record has been so good without Kevin Durant.
But isn't the stat itself too linear to be supported with such theories? I think in a lot of ways there are a number of people who follow the NBA, not just local fans but across the country, who want the Warriors to be the Warriors of 2015, and they seize on this number as proof that's the legitimate holder of the throne. And I don't get that, because one of the things that the Warriors are best at is adapting to changing conditions. And Durant represented a major change from the conditions that prevailed after 2016, but yet people want to be romantic about a season 4 years ago when everybody on the team was 4 years younger and everything was new. And I think this is almost a narrative that's being used as a club against the guy who's only been there for three of them. Am I nonsensical here?
I don't think you're nonsensical. It's just that sentiment isn't just the media. Evidently, it's felt nationwide. I mean, the ratings have been ridiculous. And that is unprecedented. I think that's an underrated, maybe just for ratings nerds like myself, we look at these things. That's unprecedented in the history of the NBA, that a superstar gets injured and people by the millions surge forth to their TVs to watch with more frequency. That is unprecedented. That might hurt my feelings a little bit if I'm Kevin Durant. And so then we have to ask the question, I think the thing you're suspicious of, and I get it, are people conflating what they want to see with what works, right? Are they conflating what looks good, which is Steph Curry running around, the offense revolving around him, moving the ball, Steph jacking 30-footers with no conscience? We all love to watch that. Are we conflating that thing that we like to watch better with better? And there's a good chance of that. I think the Bucks are the ultimate test of it. If they happen to go up against them and they happen to actually overcome that Bucks team, if Kevin Durant's not helping them or if he's compromised in some way, then I think that 31-1 stat will have more meaning and more weight.
Ethan Sherwood-Strauss, did you think that Draymond was going to come all the way back like this?
This is incredible. This this makes me want to join SoulCycle. I didn't know that they did things like this for people, that he lost 23 pounds in season going to SoulCycle, and suddenly, you know, Ray said, yeah, they are 4 years older, 5 years older. Draymond doesn't look it. You know, he looks like he looks as athletic as he's ever looked. He's been absolutely tremendous at the exact right time of the season. And guess what? When Marcus Thompson talks to him and asks him who the best defensive player of all time is, I can't answer that question for you. I haven't seen them all in every context, but I think he's got a fair argument, especially for this era with his ability to switch one through five. It has just been a masterful couple series for him. Just incredible stuff.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Ethan. There's been so many eye-popping numbers from this series, from this playoff run. You know, obviously a fifth straight NBA Finals is a tough number to eclipse. Is there any particular stat you favor more than the others? Of all the different numbers we've seen, the first ever teammate triple-double in the same game, is there any one thing? You're a number file.
I can't remember the exact number, but whatever Kevon Looney is shooting right now, that certainly raises my eyebrows, and my eyebrows, you've seen me. They're
72%?
They're large. They're large. You know, it takes a lot to prop those up. Does anybody have that stat on hand? I don't have a laptop.
I think it's 72%.
See, here's why it's amazing. We've seen guys like that before. Chris Burbank Anderson had this great run in the playoffs of the Heat, and guys like Tyson Chandler. But Loon, he's not a high flyer. He's doing it in slow motion half the time. It's just such a I get a kick out of it. I don't know if you guys do. When he gets the ball around the rim and he just waits out every block shot and then slowly, like an arcade claw, drops it where it needs to go. I think that's been that whatever. I mean, that's a ridiculous stat coming from him. A lot of people thought that draft pick might have been a bust. It took him a while to get back to full health after two hip surgeries, and to see him so efficient. And now Steve Kerr saying he's a foundational piece, the rise of Kevon Looney, that sticks out to me. That's been a nice story.
Myers Leonard, Max to the Knicks?
I mean, that might be a little rash. He's somebody where if you don't guard him, he can do what he did last night. But if you guard him, I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of noise made from that direction.
So in other words, he's a Max to the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Ethan, thanks a lot, man. Always a pleasure. And, geez, we'll see you. It'll be many moons before we see you, not before
the
game
fifth.
Three. Of
the fifth.
Yeah. Wow.
June 5th.
See you June 5th.
Do I go to Hawaii and come back? I don't know. I'll find something to do, though. I'll write some stuff.
Beautiful. Take care, brother.
See ya.
Ethan Sherwood-Strauss here on 95.7 The Game. When we come back, more of your calls certainly welcome in. We're getting closer and closer to Matt Barnes, who's going to join us at 4:45 today. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta. When we do come back, your phone calls. We got to talk about how the fact the Wall Street Journal might be high. Dennis O'Donnell definitely found some very high Portland Trailblazer fans. We'll have some funny audio for you there. And tonight, can the Sharks do it? Can they force a game seven? We'll ask Ray next. Here on 95.7 The Game. Right now, though, it is Elena. Hello, Elena. Hello.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
About to get to more of your calls here in just a moment. This wasn't a call made into Dennis O'Donnell. He doesn't take calls. He's on TV. KPIX, little pregame last night.
You're out of your mind. Blazers in seven, in a heartbeat, way easy. Dame's going to take it to them with a bruised rib or a separated rib. Doesn't matter. It's going to be the Blazers in seven, and then they're going to win in five against Milwaukee.
Okay, as you can see, cannabis is plentiful here in Portland.
The cannabis is plentiful. The Western Conference Finals wins were not. That's why the Warriors are moving on to their fifth straight NBA Finals. This segment brought to you by Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Visit Friedman's Appliance, a magnificent 25,000-square-foot showroom. Find out more at friedmansappliance.com. We've got more nonsense. Maybe somebody from the Wall Street Journal is high. We'll get to that headline in just a moment. But they are playing tonight.
That's fine.
And they're skating for their playoff lives.
That's fine.
Got a guy here on the text line saying, hey, Ray, Damon, here's a fun fact. In 2019, The Sharks are 4-0 when facing elimination. That comes from Josh Castro Valley. Josh, love the sentiment, love the stat. Ray, can they make it 5-0 tonight? Every single time the Sharks are supposed to die, they live. Can they get Game 7 back in the tank?
I think they've basically, they're played out. I mean, they're too banged up. I mean, even if you wanted to accept the possibility that they figured out St. Louis's forecheck, and in Game 5 there was no evidence that they had any clue of how to break that, Pavelski's hurt. Hurdle's hurt. Carlson's hurt. I mean, on and on and on, they are banged up. In Game 1, when St. Louis did nothing but try to hit them, and everybody laughed at them because the Blues lost, the Blues sent a message, which is basically, as time goes on in this series, we're going to break you. And the Sharks are about broken. So I don't think they're going to be 5-0. I think they're going to be 4-1, and I'm not entirely sure that it's going to be close.
So the only hope I can give you, Sharks fans, and I'm sure you all have heard,
is that I'm an idiot.
Fade the public. Is every time Ray has declared the Sharks dead on arrival, they've gotten up off the mat and skated another game. They need to do that tonight. They must win the next three periods in St. Louis, or the season is au revoir. 888-957-9570. Daryl giving us a buzz from East Oakland. Hello, Daryl.
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
What's up, man? I really just wanted to say something about that last kid who was on about 15 minutes ago or so. His name was Michael. I just wanted to he made a terrible, terrible analogy about KD and the Warriors. Here's a better one. The better one is simple. You got a couple, a really beautiful girl and a really beautiful guy. Really beautiful guy, I'll put me in that place, no problem. The really beautiful guy and the really beautiful girl, they can coexist with each other, but they might not actually because they're too busy noticing themselves in the mirror. Now, don't get me wrong, of course, KD and the Warriors are more humble than that, but I think we can coexist and not have it be the worst thing in the world. If you go back to the beginning of the season, KD was moving the ball around a lot, and he was playing Warriors ball. And then when Curry went down, it kind of went to KD's shoulders, and that's kind of where things kind of stopped that. And when Curry and those guys came back, the rhythm never quite got where it was supposed to be, especially when we added DeMarcus back trying to get him acclimated. So people are weird right now. We can, if KD leaves, fine, man. I love him. Man, it was great. It was a great time. But don't just try to push him out the door like we didn't use him just like he used us. It was a beautiful man.
Daryl, first of all, the word you're looking for is handsome. That's what we usually call beautiful men. Handsome is the word. But Kevin Durant is one of the most handsome basketball players. It's clear that as long as you're with a player like this who has options, teams are going to be sliding up in his DMs all the time if you want to keep talking about handsome men and beautiful women. And look, Durant is so desired. He's so fantastic that if he does go somewhere else, that's his choice. But every single Golden State Warrior fan, I think, if Durant were to make the choice to leave, they would halfway be thankful that he helped provide some lifetime memories, and half wouldn't say thanks for nothing. But it would be the feeling like, if you think you can do better without us, like, good luck going to try do that. Like, look, we all root for the players that are wearing the laundry we prefer. The minute that player puts the laundry on, we love them. The minute they take it off, we stop loving them. That's how it works. I mean, Patrick McCaw, right? Everybody loved Patrick McCaw. Oh, man, he's a prospect. He's somebody I'm interested in his future. I think that was a great draft pick. Patrick McCaw is my kind of guy. I really hope it works out. Then it didn't work out. Then what he wants to do? He wants to leave. Everyone was like, screw Patrick McCaw. You think you're better off without us? Go see how that life is just waiting for you. I think that's how a lot of people are going to feel about Durant.
Maybe, but, you know, I won't understand that, because intellectually, you've got two more parades because of him.
Right.
And in all likelihood, a third. And if, again, this goes back to what people want the Warriors to be as opposed to what they are. And what they want them to be is 2015, because that's the championship they liked the best, because it was the newest one and they were the cutest version of themselves. But if they didn't have Durant, if they didn't make some minor philosophical tweaks to who and what they are, 15 was going to be the last championship in all likelihood, because once you show that you're vulnerable, more and more teams are going to come at you doing the things that Oklahoma City did to them, doing the things that Cleveland did to them. They're more of a juggernaut now than they were back then, but people forget that.
Right, Kevin Durant.
They needed to adapt to changing conditions. Durant was a large part of that. And if you're going to be pissy about him leaving, well, okay, then you're just being ungrateful. Because this is better. If you're a fan, this is better because of Durant, not despite Durant.
I completely agree with you. The vast majority of people aren't looking logically at their sports and their rooting choices. And that's why people leave logic outside of, you know, the process that reached him to the conclusion that Kevin Durant's got to go. Look, here's who Kevin Durant is in a nutshell more than anything else. He has been the vehicle that has helped the Warriors drive to a neighborhood not seen since the 50s Celtics. They're playing for a fifth straight NBA Finals. That does not happen without Kevin Durant. Now, it does not happen without Steph Curry. It does not happen without Draymond Green. I don't think it happens necessarily if Steve Kerr has a serious back problem that keeps him away from the team. He couldn't go forward. Any piece subtracted from this perfectly functioning equation changes it. It's easier to see that Kevin Durant is the bigger, you know, denominator, the bigger number in the equation. But you remove anybody from this equation, it could change it a little bit. But Kevin Durant really is. Think of a tightrope walker. You're there to see the tightrope walker. You don't want to see him fall, but if he does, boy, you better hope there's a net there. The whole point is just getting from one end of the rope to the other. Kevin Durant is the net. He's the net. If the Warriors' tightrope walker slips off the rope, they never die because he's there to catch them. And that's a security blanket only a moron wouldn't be interested in.
They're better in every way, except in meaningful statistical places. Like, well, their winning percentage in the regular season is lower. Yeah, because they, as an organization, made a judgment that winning 73 games is something they don't have to do anymore. Right? They don't have to do that. That's not. It's empty calories. You know, that's not a triumph for them. What matters to them is May and June. And if they win this without Durant, you know, they will not be able to erase the fact that they wouldn't have three in a row. They wouldn't be a dynasty. You know, they'd have two championships 4 years apart, which doesn't make them that special.
I got a guy here on the text line saying 31-1, Damon. Why are you ignoring that? Why is that the only thing you're focused on? Seriously, 31-1, yeah, that's an impressive sample size. How about this? Kevin Durant's present is so omnipotent that with him on the court, maybe they don't play as hard because they know for a fact that that guy is the Incredible Hulk and Hulk smash when things go bad. So the reason why they're 31-1 is they know that they're not nearly as sharp and as dangerous without Kevin, so everybody stays sharp and mentally dangerous. I mean, that just focusing on that, 31-1, is to Nick Wright this conversation into oblivion. That's not the only number to focus on.
No, but it's the one they want because you need the narrative of Durant as the alien force to prop up 2015 as the zenith of Warrior experience. And if that's what you want, fine. Then turn in all the other t-shirts, you know, ignore everything that's happened since then, because 2015, it's never going to be better for you than that. The fact is they've won 3 out of 4. They are on pace to win 4 out of 5, which would make them a historically great team. And they don't do that without Durant. I mean, I can't envision a way in which the Warriors, who everybody agrees is the most forward-thinking organization in the NBA, you know, would suddenly say, we're going to add Kevin Durant even though we know he makes us worse. I mean, when, you know, I don't know. I didn't realize that there were championships that would shame you. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure the Warriors will apologize to you when they get a moment. I mean, they've won 3 out of 4. Kevin Durant has been a huge part of that. And you don't have to pick and choose between Stephen Curry and him or Draymond Green and him and Klay Thompson and him unless you believe that the Warriors are only the sum of their parts. And everything they've shown you in 4 years is that they are greater than that. Either figure it out or go find another team.
Michael, San Jose. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much just to touch on what you guys said. One thing I keep thinking about is Game 5. At the end of the game, Steve Kerr said something that was really profound. And he mentioned strength in numbers. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he mentioned strength in numbers and said, this was my fault for not going in deeper on the bench. And I think it's so ironic that at the same time that Kevin Durant went down, yes, it elevated the other players because, like you guys said, they had to play harder. But people are forgetting this is the first time Steve Kerr went into the bench. The team has not been better because KD's been down. It's been better because we've been strength in numbers again.
Well, that and the matchups provided the avenue to go back to the bench.
Absolutely. That's another point people aren't realizing is, we finished that series off and then went to a very different team. I haven't seen this space. The Rockets were just suffocating us at the three-point line. We're getting shots in this series. People are just equating the success to the lack of KD. You are crazy. Born and raised in the Bay Area, crazy if you think we're better without Kevin Durant. He has had a phenomenal playoff. Literally got us here. I mean,
everyone's focused on 31-1. Michael, thank you so much for the call. Everyone's focused on 31-1. Here's another way to look at it. Curry's won more titles with Kevin Durant than without Kevin Durant.
If you're going to apply logic, I'm leaving the room.
I know, but 1-1 without, 2-0 with.
No, here's the thing. The people who want this to be about Curry v. Durant don't want to acknowledge that the Warriors adjusted and that this is a different kind of Warrior team in some ways. Its essence is still the same, but they had to adapt to changing conditions. I'm not sure that they would be considered the best team in the league if Durant wasn't on this one. I think people would look at Milwaukee and go, they had the better year because their record's better. Toronto was better. I mean, part of what makes Golden State what they are is that adaptability that basically says, we're not going to worry about price. We're not going to worry about perception. Our team has been built in such a way that it can absorb new players all the time, including one who had the power, if he chose, to disrupt everything. And he didn't. You know, it really does, for me, just go back to, if you want 2015, well, you're not getting that again. You already got it. You know, cancel Christmas. You're done. You know, if you want to see how far this goes, then embrace the fact that the Warriors are willing to change aspects of who they are to meet current conditions. Durant is the greatest example of that. Period.
How many rings did Durant have before the Warriors? It's a stupid question. How many teams were not? Look at it this way. Only one team wins the NBA Finals every year. You've got losers everywhere else. What's your argument?
What? The argument is they want 2015 again. It's they can't verbalize it that way, but that's what they want.
And
they don't think that Durant has earned the right to be a Warrior.
You know what it is, too, I think, is a little bit of people protecting themselves against the decision that he's leaving. Like, nobody wants to think that their program is a stepping stone. You know, oh, what, you used us to take another job? And that's what I think. There's a lot of people trying to convince themselves, hey, you know what, if she does leave me, fine, I'll be better off without her. I think there's a lot of that weird psychology going on in this as well.
Maybe, but there's a level of emptiness in the argument because the Warriors are not going to result in being a stepping stone to the New York Knicks. If Durant leaves, the Warriors are a stepping stone to what happens after basketball for him.
How about this? I 110% agree with Ray, and I can't stand him, but I respect him, and I will always listen to his opinion.
Well, I'll be honest with you, sir or madam, I can't stand him either.
There you go.
He's a despicable human being.
You're like Dorothy Mantooth. I hate you, but I respect you.
I don't want their respect. I just want their hatred.
James in Pinole. Welcome to the show, James. Feel free to love me and hate Ray.
I will. Don't worry. I actually wanted to say that me personally, I'd like to take credit, and I think the other listeners who commented and your radio station should take credit for Draymond Green. I called up 3 months ago and said that he wasn't a max player, that he probably wasn't going to be a Hall of Famer, and that he ultimately was more of a detriment to the team at times, especially with how emotional and all the technicals and all the complaining that he was doing. And I think that he listens to the show and to the radio station, that he took it to heart.
And James, are you asking for a win share here? Do you really think that you're a part of the turnaround?
No, I think we all are. I think that fans do recognize problems. I think you guys recognize problems, and the more they're said and the more they're talked about, that these guys do take it to heart.
Well, I will say this, James. I've never been a believer that these guys ain't listening. I've never been a believer. If there was a show about you, and how much different are you than an NBA athlete, right? We're all the same people. We're all people. If there was a show specifically about you, you'd tune in. You'd listen. I know for a fact that Warrior coaches have come up to me and asked me specific questions about Warrior interviews that I've done with Steve Kerr. I mean, they're absolutely listening. I don't know how much any gets in or what it takes to heart, but look, when the whole world agrees on something, you should maybe pay attention to what the answer is. And when the whole world was saying, you know, Draymond's better than this, he's got to clean this up, he's got to get dressed, fly right, drop 20 pounds and play better, he heard that. He heard that, and he took it to heart, and he did something with it. Damon, Dorothy Mantooth is a saint. Yeah, I know. Thank you very much, text line. You're all over it. I love you.
Nobody gets credit for this except Draymond,
right,
and his mother. Anybody who wants any piece of credit for this deserves the beating that she or he would gladly give them. Period.
I'd like to think I'm partially responsible for the success.
I'm sure you would, but when they crush your skull for that kind of effrontery, I won't be able to muster an argument in your defense.
Mom
trumps everything else because we're... Was not the nation saying all this in October and November? Yes, they were saying it in December, and they were saying it in January, and nothing hit. What hit? Mom.
I will say this in your defense. I haven't seen a single ring sent to my house yet.
Well, that's one. But no, I'm not. I think if you try to get credit for this from the two rightful owners of it, I'm even cutting out his two kids. That's how willing I am to be just stupid and awful on this. This is about him mostly and his mom.
SJB calling from Sunnyvale. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to comment. I absolutely agree with Ray.
Sorry.
It's definitely...
Oh, it sounds like we lost you there. I'm so sorry. She was about to agree with you. There was about to be harmony.
Well, I think she was struck down.
Between you and a caller, absolutely.
No, well, have her call back then.
Matt Barnes is joining us coming up next. So call back after you hear from Matt Barnes. If you're on hold, stay right there. We're going to keep taking calls at 5 o'clock. I can promise you that. And, oh, by the way, you're really going to want to hear this. No Pavelski for the Sharks in warm-ups tonight. That is not good news.
That's fine.
You can press that button all you want. That ain't saving them tonight.
I do have good news, though, for you. 95.7 The Game is giving you a chance to go to Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Go to 95.7thegame.com right now and register to win. Starting Thursday at 7 a.m., also at 11, 2, and 5 o'clock, we'll be announcing a name. If that name is yours, you'll have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call back in and qualify for a pair of tickets to Game 3 of the NBA Finals and an autographed Warriors jersey but you must be registered to qualify. Well, how do you do that? Well, for complete details and to register, go to 957thegame.com right now for verified finals tickets. Go to warriors.com. More of your calls and the one and only Matt Barnes coming up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 957 The Game.
It's good to have you along today. You know, the Warriors do an excellent job honoring players of the past, and Matt Barnes was asked to come on by and doff the cap in this playoff round, and he did so, I believe, in game one he was there. I went down, saw him courtside, introduced myself finally to him in person, just said, thanks for coming on the show whenever we give you a call. Matt Barnes is always interesting. He's always readily available. We're always thrilled to talk to him. Along with Ray Ratto, back here on the Damon Bruce Show, former Warrior, former NBA champ, Matt Barnes joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Matt, thank you very much, man. How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing very well, thank you. So, first of all, we got to start with the nonsense, and you got to stop with this nonsense right now. I heard you on Pardon My Take podcast saying that your 2017 championship ring rings a little hollow when you look at it because you were injured and couldn't play. Let me ask you, did you give anybody a pep talk? Did you rub another man's rhubarb to get up and play? Come on, you're a part of that, man.
No, I was definitely a part of the team, and like I said, the opportunity was amazing for, you know, just for me to have that chance. But, you know, my career, I fought to get a ring, and really, you know, if anyone knows the history of my career, nothing was handed to me. You know, I fought and scratched and clawed my whole career, and I just really felt like, you know, although leading up, you know, I was playing well, and the game KD comes back, I end up hurting myself. But to me, I've just always been someone that, you know, needed to be out there to be a part of something. So although I was definitely with the guys every day in practice and rooting during the game, it just didn't really register with me as like, okay, you really earned this, because like I said, I didn't feel like I was out there during the playoffs with those guys.
Well, Matt, you're OG, no doubt about it, man, and that's why you feel that way. How tough do you think this is for DeMarcus to watch sidelined?
Yeah, it's got to be very tough, you know what I mean, considering the injury he had last year to rehab and make it back this year just to get hurt the beginning of the playoffs. And now, you know, battling his way back through another injury, hopefully to try to get back for the finals. But, you know, this is a mental grind, not only him, not for KD and everyone who's playing. So, you know, I really feel for him, and I hope that, you know, if he's ready to play in the finals, great. If not, you know, I think it's more long-term for him because he has a lot more basketball ahead of him.
Does the mental grind get worse when there aren't any games? I mean, the Warriors will go 10 games without playing, 10 days without playing. If Milwaukee finishes this in five, it'll be six. And historically, the team that has more rest between the conference final and the finals is the one that ends up losing. So is the mental grind of the weight more of a factor than we think it is?
I think it just kind of depends. I think now more than ever, I think the Warriors need to break because they've had so many injuries and their core has had to play so many minutes through the playoffs. You know, and that's Steph, Clay, Draymond, and then, you know, Iggy sitting out last game, but he logged a lot of minutes. So I think more than anything, this break, although historically it doesn't bode well, I think it'll do very good for this team because, you know, you can't replace experience, and this team has a ton of experience, and that's why, you know, throughout the playoffs, I've always taken them, even if they play Milwaukee or Toronto, from the standpoint of this whole team is battle-tested. They've been there, and they've done it, and they're going for their third in a row.
Matt Barnes here on 95.7 The Game. Look, we don't want to start looking straight ahead to the NBA Finals. We kind of want to appreciate the fact that they just swept Portland, which was, you know, wildly impressive to see Draymond do it, to see them do it without Durant, DeMarcus, or Andre for the final game. Five straight trips to the finals here, Matt. And look, I'm guessing that when you were playing, this is something that no one ever talked about as like a team goal. It's so preposterous. Hasn't been done since the black and white, you know, 60s Celtics. I mean, five in a row in the modern NBA, like that's not even a goal anyone has because it's that unrealistic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing if you just sit back and look at the historical reference and their place in history. But, you know, even playing with, you know, I was fortunate enough to play with these guys for, you know, 4 or 5 months, but playing against them, I just knew how special this team always was. And you know, this is arguably one of the greatest teams ever assembled, you know. So to make it a 5 straight finals, and, you know, who knows if Draymond doesn't get kicked out of, you know, the finals 3 years ago. You know, they could possibly be going, you know, they could possibly have 4 championships in a row and hold for their fist. So it's a tremendous accomplishment, but I know those guys in the locker room, they're not satisfied with just making it there. You know, their goal is, you know, we're getting there and we're going to win it. And I think that's the mindset of the whole organization. So, like I said, I think the rest is really going to help these guys because they've been logging a lot of minutes. But, you know, I definitely count on them to be ready when, you know, game one of the final starts.
I'm going to ask you to speak for all current players, or maybe even most former players.
That's fair.
When people, well, that's the kind of girl I am. When people say that the Warriors are better with Curry and without Durant than they are with Curry and Durant, is there a player who hears that argument and doesn't feel his brain melt?
It's just, it's ridiculous. You know, I've been doing a lot of ESPN and Fox of late, and, you know, to me, why does the narrative always have to be there better without Durant, or just these guys are stepping up in his absence? You know, I think it's always the mind games that media try to play that, you know, almost break this team down or make it a Kevin Durant in the Warriors situation when, you know, he's a Warrior. So, I mean, these guys are stepping up and doing it for him, along with Boogie, along with, you know, Andre. So it's, you know, being a former teammate of theirs and then just a former player, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, it's a different game when KD is there. I think when KD is not there, the ball moves around more and you get back to some of the old Warriors stuff. But, you know, KD is you know, definitely the best player on the team, possibly the best player in the world. So I think they do defer to him a little bit, but it's not like he's someone that's dribbling the air out of the ball like James Harden. He's very efficient. He's very unselfish and still makes the plays. He's just the guy down the stretch when you know you need a bucket, you can always go to and get. Steph is the same way, you know, but Steph is just gets his in a different way. So when you hear that, you know, this team is better without KD, it's, you know, I think just think when KD is in, they play a different style. When KD is out, they play, you know, a different style. So anytime you take the best player away from a team, you know, the next guy has to step up. And for your second best player to be Steph Curry, you're in a great spot.
Matt, are you enjoying your evolution into a media darling?
It's interesting. You know, I think it's important for former athletes to be able to tell our stories. I mean, there's a lot of great, you know, media personalities out there.
Not really. No, there aren't.
Very few have actually been through the grind and, you know, had to lace them up for a game seven or been able to win the championship. You know, articulate, you know, our experiences and give the fans a deeper look on that, what it's really like at a time like this. I think people appreciate that. But, you know, there's also a lot of BS. Like I said, this whole KD versus the Warriors narrative that everyone wants to spin or push, it's ridiculous. So, you know, you got to kind of weed through the BS and hopefully, you know, give a true, honest opinion the best way you can.
Matt, would you take us through the interplay either in practice or in a locker room between Curry, Clay and Draymond? Is Draymond always the vocal leader? Does Clay assume that role at times? Curry is so monotone. I don't know if he, you know, does anything but lead by other than example. You played with them. You know them so much better than we do. Tell us how those three fit together and why it works so well.
What I got from the situation is Draymond is always going to be vocal. And then other guys kind of pick and choose their spots. You know, we'll one day Steph will say something, next day Steph will lead by example. Clay will even, you know, Clay will pitch in, Andre would pitch in, Sean would pitch in. When I was there, David would pitch in, I would pitch in. So it's almost a situation where there's really no hierarchy. You know, anyone who has something to say is welcome to speak on it, and everyone respects it and listens to it and you know, does so accordingly. So, you know, like I said, on a day-to-day basis, I think it is Draymond. It's kind of the, you know, the wind behind the sails of, you know, calling guys out, getting guys motivated, getting guys ready to go. But, you know, it's really an equal opportunity. You know, if you see something as a player who's not even playing, that these guys are, you know, mature enough and responsible enough to listen to what you have to say and understand that it's coming from a good place and try to incorporate it to the situation. So, like I said, the day-to-day is Draymond, but everyone has an equal say on, you know, what they see and what's going on and ways to get the team better.
Is there a way of explaining how secure a coach has to be to allow a locker room to basically run itself. Because I think the temptation with most coaches is to put their fingerprint on it one way or another. And some guys do that and it works really well. Some guys do it and it's a disaster. So go ahead.
I think it's a hats off to Steve Kerr. I think that's one of the things he's been so great at is, you know, obviously laying down what he wants done, but then trusting his players to create within that. I remember several times, you know, in walkthrough where, you know, a defensive coverage would be a certain way. And, you know, Draymond will say something or Steph will say something on the pick and roll, or guys would add, like, you know, I think we should do it this way. And the coaches will talk about it for a second and, we'll, you know, the team would do it the way the players wanted to. Because at the end of the day, we were the ones out there. We were the ones seeing stuff and we were the ones that kind of know what works best. So I think it's very important for a coach to have that confidence, not only in himself, but the trust that he has in his team. You know, this is one of the more veteran teams, obviously, and then, you know, the basketball IQ with this Golden State Warriors team is off the chart, you know, so a lot of these guys can contribute to the game plans, to the strategic approach, and, you know, it continue to work like a well-oiled machine. So, you know, that's something that I don't think Steve gets enough credit for, is, you know, he says what he wants, and most of the time the guys do it, but if the guys have a problem or see something that could possibly work better, they say it, and Steve goes with it, so... It takes a very secure coach and a coach that trusts his players to be able to do something like that.
Man was a pro through and through, Matt Barnes, here on 95.7 The Game. So I heard Andre Iguodala say, you know, Steph Curry, he's one of the best of all time. Then he amended that saying one of the best point guards of all time. Who is the best basketball player of all time is a debate that happens almost every 15 minutes on every sports network. When players sit around talking about basketball, do you ever enter that debate? Is this something that players obsess about, or is this just the fans and the critics and the media who are constantly looking to re-rank who might be the best?
It's everyone but the players. I mean, I think you know while you're playing who the top dogs are. You know, obviously Steph is up there. KD is up there. LeBron's been up there. When I was playing, Kobe was up there. So the players kind of know. It's kind of an unspoken understanding. I mean, you know every night KD and Steph are going to bring it. Obviously those guys are some of the better players in the world, but I think it's more of a fan perspective and really a media, like I said, trying to cause whatever they can to kind of disrupt flow and chemistry, because the media knows that players, although we're busy, we see and we hear everything, you know, so it's a constant debate. I think the latest debate is, you know, is it LeBron or KD who's the best player in the world now? And I think it's KD, you know, and that's no knock on LeBron, not saying that KD's body of work is better than LeBron's, but at this current moment with LeBron's age, LeBron's on the backside of his prime, you know, KD is in his prime, and to me, one of the most efficient scorers we've ever seen. A selfless superstar and someone that can fit in and blend and sacrifice like the rest of these Warrior players have done. So, but like I said, with KD being the best player, if your second best player is Steph Curry, I mean, that's a dream come true, because on any, you know, well, without KD around, Steph is one of the best. So you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. But, you know, to answer your question, I think it's more outside the locker rooms that have that debate than inside.
Do you want to try to explain the Los Angeles Lakers to us, or do you just want to sit back and watch the explosions happen?
it's a dumpster fire, you know, to be honest. And going into the NBA, the Lakers are my favorite team. And then, you know, I've been a lifelong Laker fan, and then the Warriors kind of took my heart, too. So the Warriors and the Lakers, now that I'm done playing, are my two favorite teams. And it's sad to see. From a standpoint of this was a well-oiled machine for so long, with Dr. Bush running, and then, you know, his unfortunate death, leaving the reins to his children, it just hasn't worked out. And I think that championship started at the top. You know, I was here with the Warriors in 2006, 2007, and 2008, under different ownership, and when I came back in 2017, it was night and day. And I think it started at the top with ownership, and then management, and then the coaching staff, and then the training staff. And then it's just a fun place to be, and you want to even come in and practice. You know, and like I said, I think that starts at the top. So they're trying to, you know, they want to get the coach situated, and they want to get some other superstars to come play. But to me, as a superstar or even a, you know, a high free agent, why would you want to jump into a fire like that? You know, it's unstable. It's uncertain. Things are constantly changing. You don't know who's making calls, who's not. And I kind of feel bad for LeBron, you know what I mean? And I really felt bad for Kobe on the way out because Kobe rode the ship, you know, as it sank. You know, he had so much Laker pride that he didn't – I'm sure he had opportunities to go somewhere his last couple of years and play, but he was so prideful, you know, he rode the ship until it sank, until he retired, which was unfortunate because you never want to see a great player go out like that. But it's looking like some more of the same for LeBron. Like I said, as a fan, you hope that if it's Rob or Jeannie or Kurt Rambis who's running the ship, they can get the ship back on track because I think – the NBA is more exciting when the Lakers are involved and relevant.
Do you want to venture a guess as to how it ends, or are you going to make us wait for 2 years like everybody else?
No, I think this is going to be a big summer. You know, like I said, Magic going on and telling his truth. I thought it was good. You know, some people said it might have been more harm than good, but I think at the end of the day, too often these whispers or rumors go around without being addressed, and people have the wrong narrative about what happened. So Magic told his, got that out the way. But at the end of the day, you got to give this new management, whoever it is, a chance. They've hired a proven coach in Frank Vogel. You have, you know, arguably a top two player in the world in LeBron James and a great young core. I think the Lakers' problem is I think the fans and the media expect stuff to happen overnight. You know, and people don't remember the Warriors didn't happen overnight. You know, the Warriors were a process, and now they're one of the greatest dynasties ever. So the Lakers aren't going to happen overnight. So if they're fortunate enough to get a star player or even, you know, a high-quality player mixed in with these younger players, it's still going to be a process, I think, because they saw, okay, LeBron James has come to the Lakers. We're back in ring contention, and real basketball players and basketball minds know it doesn't work that way.
Matt Barnes didn't happen overnight. There's a lot of hard work that went into that. Man, thank you so much. Always good to see you. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, folks.
Matt Barnes here on 95.7 The Game as we slip on in to 5 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.